So basically, this is a continuation of the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, what was described was Ragatmika Bhakti, or the mood of spontaneous love of the residents of Vrindavan especially, who are the topmost Ragatmika Bhaktis. This, those who are spontaneously attracted to Christian love and fully absorbed in Him eternally are the Ragatmika Bhaktis, and they are absorbed. Their absorption takes the shape of in one of the four different rasas, primary rasas, of what? One?
Shingara.
Yes, Shingara. Any others?
Vatsalya.
Good.
Sakya.
And Dasya, okay.
Shanta.
Ha, and Shanta. But Shanta, Rupa Goswami doesn't usually consider it rasa. But it is considered here. Actually, we may hear that. And the two, this Ragatmika Bhakti, is divided into two different categories of Kamarupa and Sambandarupa, which means having the form like lust and having the form of relationship. So yesterday's class, we heard about this sensual attraction, which is Kamarupa, at the end. And now we are going to hear something about Sambandarupa, the feeling of relationship. It should be understood that this feeling of that Kamarupa is also really Sambandarupa, or Kamatmika is Sambandatmika. But to give special stress or importance to the conjugal relationship, Rupa Goswami has divided it into these two categories, because the feeling of relationship is there with Krishna. In the attitude of the denizens of Vrindavan, such as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda, is to be found the ideal transcendental concept of being the mother and father of Krishna, the original personality of Godhead. Factually, no one can become the mother or father of Krishna. But a devotee's possession of such transcendental feelings is called love of Krishna in a parental relationship. The Vrishnis, Krishna's relatives at Dwarka, also felt like that. So spontaneous love, so this means that this Sambandarupa, this also takes place in Dwarka. So it is found in both amongst those denizens of Dwarka who belong to the dynasty of Vrishni and amongst the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So the Yadavas in Dwarka, they are thinking of Krishna, he is our family member. And when your family member is very wonderful, you feel very proud, and that relationship increases your love for that person. So similarly in Braja, all the different rasas, they are proud. All the different devotees, Ragatmika devotees, in Sambandarupa, they are proud of Krishna. They are thinking that we are so fortunate to be in this village because we have such a boy like Krishna, and he is our village person. It's just like when, the World Cup, right? You know what the World Cup is? Yes. So when if your team won, your country's team won, everyone feels like a cricket matches, right? Everyone feels this, right? Even though we're devotees, we've been devoted for so many years, when your team wins, you feel a little bit, like that. Some places, but not in the temple usually, though. No. So you're proud when the member of your group does well. So how proud were the residents in Vrindavan and the Vrishnis of Krishna, who's so beautiful. And even in Dwarka, the Satyajit was wearing this Shamataka money, the Charmachaka jewel. And he was so effulgent that the Yadus or the Vrishni members of Dwarka were thinking, just see how wonderful it is that Krishna is here in our town, and even the sun god is coming to see him. And they felt their chest swelled with pride, and they felt so much ecstasy, thinking, oh, Krishna is one of us. He is the topmost one of us. So it's like that. What to speak of if Krishna is, if you're loving Krishna in the mood of son or friend, how wonderful it is to have such a friend like Krishna. Who Bakasura attacks him and bites him like this, like that, and pecks him like that in Krishna, and he swallows Krishna even, and he spits out Krishna, and Krishna breaks his beaks in half. And the coward boys were thinking, when they saw Agasura, they were thinking, first they thought it was a big mountain cave. And then they saw it was actually a great serpent who had opened up his mouth to swallow them. So when they decided to walk in anyway, even though they understood it was a serpent, and they were thinking, anyway, Krishna will save us. He's our friend. So they had such deep, intimate relationships like that with Krishna. It was so dominated by love. And there was no feeling of awe and reverence, especially in Braja. And therefore, Braja Bhakti is considered higher than even Dwarka Bhakti, because there's no reverence at all. Spontaneous love of Krishna as exhibited by the Vrishnis and the denizens of Vrindavan is eternally existing in them. In the stage of devotional service, where regulative principles are followed, there is no necessity of discussing this love, for it must develop of itself at a more advanced stage. So Rupa Goswami is explaining here, this topic about Ragatmika Bhakti is really the same as Prema Bhakti. Right? And since the actual topic that's being discussed here is Raganuga Sadhana, Sadhana Bhakti, not Sadhya Bhakti or Prema Bhakti, so therefore, he's not going to discuss any more about Ragatmika Bhakti, because that's going to be discussed later, because again, the topic is sadhana. Now, next topic is the eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. Persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees. So we've already learned that there is Ragatmika Bhakti, and those who are following Anuga, Anugata, those who are following the Ragatmikas are called Raganugas, if they are following in the same mood. This means that they are trying to attain the perfection of those devotees. These Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional first service very strictly. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary explains, but this is not the qualification for being a Raganuga devotee, that you don't follow the rules and regulations strictly. No, their qualification is that their heart is fixed tadatma, tadatmika. It is fixed in the same mood with these residents of Vrindavan. And because they're already on this exalted platform, they don't follow the regulative principles very strictly. But that doesn't mean, and it will be explained later, that it doesn't mean that they neglect the regulative principles. They follow the regulative principles, but they follow it in a spontaneous way, and they follow especially those regulative principles, the Vaidhi, that actually increases their love. They do it in such a way. But by spontaneous nature, they become attracted to some of the eternal devotees such as Nanda or Yasoda, and they tried to follow in their footsteps spontaneously. There is a gradual development of ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. We must always remember, however, because Prabhupada is always going to remind us, not to become peculiar in discussion of these topics. We should always remember, however, that such eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Braja, of Vrindavan, is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, there is a stage called anarthanivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Actually, this anarthanivritti, it is not completed until prema. Anarthanivritti is not actually completed until prema. But this is not talking about, it is not started until prema bhakti, because this is the method to attain prema bhakti. So Rupa Goswami is, and Prabhupada, describing here that the stage of anarthanivritti, where one is free from at least the basic anarthas, of the disappearance of material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such devotional love, but factually he is not free from anarthas or unwanted habits. It has been seen that a so-called devotee proclaims himself a follower of Nanda, Yasoda, or the gopis, while at the same time his abominable attraction for mundane sex life is visible. So this is one time one devotee, not a devotee, but not an ISKCON devotee, but there was, during Prabhupada's time, there was someone living, a Westerner living at Radhakund by the name of Richard. And it was said that he had affection for Prabhupada. So when someone told Prabhupada that he wanted to go and live in Radhakund, Prabhupada said that there are already enough monkeys in Radhakund. So what did Prabhupada mean? And if you go to Radhakund, you will see there definitely are enough monkeys in Radhakund, and their business is the usual monkey business. Just monkey business. Breaking this, ripping that, running, chasing, doing this, doing that. Nothing spiritual, actually. So, to actually practice spontaneous devotional service, deeply, Raganuga Bhakti deeply, and Prabhupada's going to explain this later about the Prakriti Sahajiyas and their so-called Siddha Pranali. If one prematurely tries to do these things, one just gets himself into a lot of trouble. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur expressed in a song that, my dear mind, you say that you want to do Nirjana Bhajan, or go alone to some secluded place and chant, but you just know that you are doing this just to get some fame, so everyone will say, oh, what a great devotee he is, he's just chanting like Haridas Thakur. And if one prematurely tries to do this, in the Bhagavad Gita the term used is mithyachara. Mithya means false, and achara means activities. And Prabhupada's translation is pretender. So one becomes a pretender externally, sitting alone in Radhakund, and everyone's thinking, oh, the great Babaji. But inside, what is he thinking? Prabhupada once gave me this example. When I told him that there's one sannyasi appeared to be very advanced, he was always thinking about Krishna, but still Prabhupada was very angry with him. So he said, you can't tell he's thinking about Krishna. And he gave the example, just like when the phone rings and I don't want to answer the phone, I say, oh, I have such a headache, oh, I can't answer the phone, oh. So no one knows what's going on inside. So in this way, people cheat and people become cheaters. To prematurely renounce, as you are hearing in the Bhagavad Gita, is exactly the opposite of Krishna's instructions, and it is exactly the opposite of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. One's heart has to become clean and clear. Sometimes someone is found imitating. So imitating it, but then attached to abominable things. So there's no good result will come from that. When one is actually spontaneously attracted to the loving principles of the gopis, there will be found no trace of any mundane contamination in his character. Niharam iva bhaskaram. Just like the sun dissipates the fog. So similarly, devotion in this spontaneous way will have dissipated any anartas within one's heart. Therefore, in the beginning, everyone should strictly follow the regulative principles of devotional service according to the injunctions of the scriptures and the spiritual master. Only after the stage of liberation from material contamination can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees in Vrindavan. It is said by Srila Rupa Goswami, when one is actually liberated from material contamination, he can always remember. So here he's describing it. Now there are three verses in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu wherein Rupa Goswami actually describes the process in basic, the process of Raganuga Bhakti. And here is the first one. The first is, I can't remember them right now, Sanskrit. Seva saraka rupena siddha rupena chatrihi tadbhava lipsate karya braja lokana sarata. That means, this is a translation from, this is Prabhupada's translation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the transcendental realm of braja, one should serve the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates. Tad bhava lipsuna karja. That one in the same bhava, that bhava or mood of the associates of Krishna, one should serve in that mood. And one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. Braja loka, lokanasarata. You should place yourself under a great devotee there, a ragatmika bhakta, and follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the method of sadhana and spiritual practices executed while in the stage of bondage and in the stage of sadhya, God realization, when one is a siddha purusha, spiritually perfect soul. So seva sadaka rupena, externally, one should be acting, following the instructions of acting as Rupa Goswami acted. Seva saraka rupena and siddha rupena chatrihi. And internally, one should be acting as Rupa Goswami internally was. And who was Rupa Goswami internally? Rupa Manjari. So this is what it means to be a Rupanuga devotee too. It means to be following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rupa Goswami. Externally acting, following the principles as Rupa, as a sadhaka, as a practitioner, and internally feeling, adopting the mood of Rupa Goswami in his siddha form of Rupa Manjari. Oh, I'm sorry, this wasn't the first one. This was probably the third one, the second one. That was the second one. The first one is Krishna Smaram Janam Chasya Preshtam Nija Samihitam Tat Tat Katara Taschaso Kuryad Vasham Vrajasada. The devotee should always think of Krishna within himself, Krishna Smaram Janam Chasya, and one should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. Preshtam means very dear, Nija Samihitam. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor in his and his loving relationship to Krishna. One should live in Vrindavan. However, if one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22.160. Krishna Smaram Janam Chasya Prasham Nija Sumihitam Tat Tat Katara Tas Chasya Braja Lokan Kuryad Vasam Braja Siddha. Sada means always, Braja means Braja, Vas is living, and Kuryad, you should always be living in Vrindavan. And Tat Tat Katara Tas Ratas Chasyo means you should be thinking of the different kata, Krishna kata. Krishna Smaram Janam Chasya. One should be always remembering Krishna. Again, this is the main principle of all sadhana, always remembering Krishna. And thinking of a dear devotee of Krishna. You know this verse? So, here is what Prabhupada explains over here. When one is actually liberated from material contamination, he can always remember an eternal devotee in Vrindavan in order to love Krishna in the same capacity. So that's Krishna Smaram Janam Chasya Preshtam Nija Sumihitam. And developing such an aptitude, one will always live in Vrindavan, even within his mind. The purport is that if it is possible, one should go and physically be present in Brajabhumi Vrindavan and be engaged always in the service of the Lord, following the footsteps, following the devotees in Brajadham, the spiritual realm of Braja. If it is not possible, however, to be physically present in Vrindavan, one can meditate anywhere upon living in that situation. Wherever he may be, one must always think about life in Brajadham and about following the footsteps of a particular devotee in the service of the Lord. A devotee was actually advanced to Krishna consciousness. This is the second verse over here. The second verse. To find it. Righty Bhakti, the Tani 2. Shravanot Kirtana Dini. Righty Bhakti, the Tani 2. Yanyan Gani. Chaitanyatra Vigyayani Manishavi. The various practices of Vaidhi Bhakti, such as hearing and chanting, which have been previously described, are also useful in Raganuga Bhakti. The wise should know this. Vigyayan Manishavi. A devotee who is actually advanced to Krishna consciousness, who is constantly engaged in devotional service, should not manifest himself, even though he has attained perfection. The idea is that he should always continue to act as a neophyte devotee, as long as his material body is there. Activities in devotional service under regulative principles must be followed even by the pure devotee. That's Vaidhi Bhakti Dhatani too. So, it is actually never mentioned by Rupa Goswami that if one is practicing spontaneous devotional service, that one should give up following the rules and regulations. Rather, just the opposite is mentioned by Rupa Goswami and also by Prabhupada. But when he realizes, so he's following the rules and regulations, but when he realizes his actual position in relationship with the Lord, he can, along with the discharge of his devotional, of his regulative service, think within himself of the Lord. That's the third verse. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrihi tat bhava lipsate koyad braja lokana sarata. That externally one should follow, just as Rupa Goswami followed, and the example is given on what was Rupa Goswami following. As the Sanka Porvaka Nama Gana Natabi. What is the rest of that? Anyone know? Radha Krishna Gunair Smriti, is that the same one? So inside Radha Krishna Gunair Smriti, the qualities of Radha Krishna remembering, but out touch Sankhya Porvaka Nama Gana Nakabi. Always chanting, bowing down, in schedule measurements, chanting the holy names, bowing down, doing this, doing that. So following all the different rules and regulations externally, internally, thinking of serving as Rupa Goswami served in his form of Rupa Manjari. Then Prabhupada gives us some warnings about improper practices of Raganuga Bhakti that are being carried out, especially, not especially at Radhakund, but also at Radhakund and more, almost anywhere there are Babaji's. In this connection, we should be careful about the so-called Siddha Pranali. Siddha Pranali means, Siddha means perfection, and Pranali just means process. So the so-called process of perfection. And what is that? It is followed by a class of men who are not very authorized and who have manufactured their own way of devotional service. They imagine that they have become associates of the Lord simply by thinking of themselves as associates of the Lord. This external behavior is not at all according to the regulative principles. The so-called Siddha Pranali process is followed by the Prakriti Sahajiyas, a pseudo-sect of so-called Vaishnavas. In the opinion of Rupa Goswami, such activities are simply a disturbance to the standard way of devotional service. So what is this Siddha Pranali? The so-called Siddha Pranali. It means that at the time of initiation, one is given his eternal identity. So you are a cow, you are a peacock, you are a mouse in Vrindavan, you are a cowherd boy, you are a monkey, you are a gopi, like that. And internally, and then they give you what they call Ekadasa Bhav, or 11 different symptoms, or not symptoms, but moods. What is your dress? What kind of clothes you wear? What is your what village you come from? Who your parents are, etc., like that. And then this so-called Siddha Pranali, the people meditate on this, having faith that they are this thing, and even though they are neophytes, and that's the so-called Siddha Pranali. But actually, getting these things, knowing who one is eternally, is not a cheap thing. It is meant for very, very exalted folks. And it can be revealed from within, or as explained in Jiva Dharma, the Guru can reveal it like that. So Prabhupada decries this so-called Siddha Pranali system, and it doesn't work. It's the Asiddha Pranali. And so many of the false Gaudiya Vaishnavas have taken to cheaply doing this, as if just by imagining oneself as a associate of Krishna, one actually becomes an associate of Krishna. So that is the definition of Prakriti Sahajiya. That one who Sahajiya means one who takes things cheaply. And prakriti means material. So it means that just based on one's faith, one is considering himself an associate of the Lord. But it takes so much more than that. Yeah.
But the spiritual master, like a pure devotee, he can tell the constitutional position of the disciple.
There's one, yeah, at least generally, for sure. At least generally. Generally means Krishna Nitya Das, that everyone is a servant of Krishna. There's in Jiva Dharma or in Harinam Chintamani, it describes how the spiritual master, he gives you something, and if you don't like it, you can go back to him if it doesn't exactly suit you. This is in Harinam Chintamani. So this is very esoteric subject matters.
Discussed about the importance of meditation in the previous chapter, how bad meditation
is
gives some benefit to
service. Yes. But one shouldn't, and therefore I cautioned everyone not to imagine, and this is specifically what we shouldn't imagine, things like this.
does sahajis have any benefit? Because sometimes they have meditation places. Imagine themselves in relation to Krishna. And Krishna is
but it is imagination. So there is some benefit, just like Prabhupada said, we decry the chanting of this mantra, Nitya Gaura Hare Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. But still, Prabhupada said, just by chanting Nitya Gaura, there is some benefit.
Sometimes I see it in men dressed up.
Well, that's a whole separate one. Also, you see that in New York, by the way.
What's the reason?
See, there's a whole... Even initiated disciple of Hemalata Takarini, who was the, I can't remember, Srivas Thakur's daughter. And during the time, he had a disciple whose name was Rupa Kaviraj. And during the time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he made up this system of seva sadaka rupena, that even as a sadaka, you should be externally as a sadaka, you should be engaging your body as if you were siddha rupena chatrihi. So therefore, they dress most peculiarly in saris and things like that, as if in some way, by doing that, they will be able to attract Krishna and learn how to play the part or something like that. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur kicked him out of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But still, there are followers. But so you see them every once in a while walking around in saris.
So they're actually following the process.
They follow a so-called process. But they're not following a process. They are following something that's very bad. As if the material body could somehow be useful and attractive to Krishna or something like that. So they'll put on a nice sari. What is Krishna going to be attracted to? A material body cloaked in a nice sari. So that's the so-called siddha. There is actually a real siddha pranali. But this is the so-called siddha pranali. The process of siddha pranali only means the process of siddha becoming perfect. Srila Rupa Goswami says that learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regulative principles even after development of spontaneous love for Krishna. According to the regulative principles, there are 9 departmental activities as described above. And one should specifically engage himself. This is actually that Vaidhi Bhakti Dittani too. One should person may have a particular interest in hearing, chanting, etc., etc., according to one's particular taste. So this was under the category of eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. The next topic is conjugal love. Conjugal love is kamanuga. Now there's kamatmika, which means those devotees in Krishna Loka, either Dwarka or Vrindavan, who want to serve Krishna in a conjugal way, and then that is kamatmika or kamarupa, and then following in their footsteps is kamanuga, conjugal love. This is spontaneous raganuga. Kamanuga. Devotional service following the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan or the queens of Dwarka is called devotional service in conjugal love. This devotional service in conjugal love can be divided into 2 categories. One is direct conjugal love and the other is indirect. The other, indirect and direct. In both of these categories, one has to follow the particular gopi who is engaged in such service in Goloka Vrindavan. So one is called Keli, or directly engaging in the service of Krishna, To be directly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love is technically called Keli. And the other, this Keli performance means to directly join with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are other devotees who do not wish direct contact with the Supreme Person, but who relish the conjugal loving affairs of the Lord with the gopis. Such devotees enjoy simply hearing of the activities of the Lord with his devotees. Now, what this means is that there, in the category of Kamarupa, there is this Keli and another category called Tad Tad Bhava Itchamayi. I'm not going to ever ask you this on a test. Tad Tad Bhava Itchamayi. That means that you don't desire to enjoy with Krishna and dance with Krishna in the Rasa dance. You take the position as a servant and you want to serve those gopis who are already serving Krishna. So the happiness of this Tad Tad Bhava Itchamayi is bringing Radha and Krishna together, not meeting Krishna directly. But there are two different paths. And the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they never will take the first of Keli, of desiring to directly be with Krishna. It is against the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc. All the devotees on the spontaneous platform only wish to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, even though that option is there, but it is fraught with difficulties. And that will be explained actually indirectly a little bit later. Any questions about this? Yes.
Does it mean that it has real choose and choice to become Kelly?
It's not really a real, it's not a choice. It's not possible. This development of conjugal love can be possible only with those who are already engaged in following the regulative principle. Prabhupada's making the point again. Specifically in the worship of Radha and Krishna in the temple, such devotees develop a spontaneous love for the deity, and by hearing of the Lord's exchange of loving affairs with the gopis, they gradually become attracted to those pastimes. After this spontaneous attraction becomes highly developed, the devotee is placed either in the above mentioned categories. So, that other one, it's either Sakhi, that Keli is becoming a Sakhi, or one who directly relates with Krishna, and the other is becoming a Manjari, or a servant of the servant. Never, ever, ever desiring to be alone with Krishna, only desiring to serve Srimati Radhika. Next point. The next point is that this wanting to become a gopi or Mother Yasoda or anything like this, it has nothing to do with the material body. So it is not that only women can become gopis and men they will become cowherd boys or they will become like Nanda Maharaj. It has nothing to do with the material body at all. And the example given of this is all on the spiritual platform. The sages of Dandakaranya, when they saw Lord Ramachandra, and they were actually devotees of Krishna, but when they saw Lord Ramachandra, their mood to love the Lord in conjugal love, they weren't being very successful. Actually, they had been doing that meditation for 60,000 years and they weren't achieving very much success. And then Lord Ramachandra blessed them that in their next birth they would take their birth in the womb of Braja Gopis, which is required to actually develop this Braja Bhakti in the mood of the Gopis. So they were sages in the forest, big beards and everything, and yet they were desiring to love Lord Ram and actually Lord Krishna in the mood in a conjugal relationship. So this is described in the commentaries in the 10th canto about the different classes of gopis. Now, the first, paragraph on page 129 beginning, conjugal love is divided into two classifications. So this explains that there are two ways to love Krishna in a conjugal relationship. One is called swakīya, the other is called parikīya. One means in marriage, and one is called upapati, or paramour, no marriage. And the love of the gopis, when there is no relationship, just as kept maid servants to Krishna, not wanting anything, even to be married to Krishna, just wanting to serve him in this way, this is considered the highest of possible relationships to Krishna. Well, out of these two, there is, if one wants to have the relationship with Krishna of marriage, then one has to go to Dwarka. One cannot be in Vraja, in Vrindavan. That is called Mahishi Bhav. So you still want something, to have Krishna as your husband. But in Vraja, that is even given up. I just want to please Krishna. Whatever happens to me, I don't care. Next is description of parenthood or friendship. This is sambandhanuga. So there is kamanuga and sambandhanuga under the category of raganuga, which means following the ragatmika, kamatmika, and sambandhatmika devotees. Is this all clear, all these little technical terms? Anuga, when this spontaneous attraction and with thoughts always absorbed is taking place in a residence of Vrindavan, it is atmika, kamatmika, sambandhatmika, or kamarupa, sambandharupa. And then when someone is following in their footsteps, that is called raganuga, or sambandhanuga, or kamarupa, or kamanuga. Now, devotees who are attracted to Krishna as parents or friends should follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj or Subal, respectively. Nanda Maharaj is the foster father of Krishna, and out of all the friends of Krishna, Subal is the most intimate in Vrajabhumi. In the development of becoming either the father or friend of the Lord, there are two varieties. One method is that one may try to become the father of the Lord directly, and the other is that one may follow Nanda Maharaj and cherish the ideal of becoming Krishna's father. Out of these two, the attempt to directly become the father of Krishna is not recommended. Just like attempting to push Srimati Radharani out of the way so you can enjoy with Krishna, it is not recommended at all. Such a development can become polluted with Mayavad philosophy. The Mayavadis or monists think that they themselves are Krishna. And if one thinks that he himself has become Nanda Maharaj, then his parental love will become contaminated with the Mayavad philosophy. When I was in Hong Kong, many, many, many years ago, I met one Indian lady, and someone introduces her. She is Mother Yasoda. This is the path that she is following, but she is thinking she is Mother Yasoda. So of course, at that time I didn't know what to think exactly, so I said, "Pleased to meet you, Mother Yasoda." Very nice. I wasn't actually convinced at all that she was Mother Yasoda. But how ridiculous. I don't remember if I told you this story. There was one time a friend went to one of these Rasalila plays. And it was a Bengali one. But the story came that Radha and Krishna were there. They were sitting on a throne. And then some gopis came by, and they said, "Please let us put on a dramatic performance for your pleasure." So Radha and Krishna said, "Fine, and if we please you, you please grant us our desire?" "Yes." So they put on a pastime, a play, a drama, not of Radha and Krishna, some pastime of Radha and Krishna playing, you know, enjoying together. And Radha and Krishna were so pleased after. Srimati Radharani said, What do you want? Whatever you want, you have pleased us so much. Whatever you want, I will give you. What do you want? And so all those little gopis said, we want Shyam. This is a bogus story. And this is not in the mood of a devotee. Get out now, Radharani. We have pleased you. Go. This is like Mayavad philosophy. The guru becomes pleased with the disciple. What do you want? I want to become God. I want to become guru. Like that. This is wrong philosophy. And in Vrindavan, you also very often hear even devotees, this kind of devotee will sometimes say, Radhe, Radhe, Shyam Maladi. You've heard that? This is bogus. Radhe, Radhe, give me Shyam. This is not our philosophy. We want Shyam. No! Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my happiness is to bring Radha and Krishna together. This is the happiness of a devotee. Who can please Krishna more? You or Srimati Radharani? Ah, good point. This is actually correct. You get 100% on this test. So we want to give Krishna pleasure. This is the whole purpose. We want to make Krishna happy. And who can please Krishna the most? That is the happiness of a devotee. So always the devotees are satisfied. They don't want Shyam. They don't want to become Radharani, take over Radharani's position or anyone else's position. They just want to become the servant, Gopi Bharata Parakamalaya, or Dasa Dasa Das. Not to enjoy Krishna, just to become a million times removed as servant. In the Skanda, so the Mayavadi's way of thinking is offensive and no offender can enter into the kingdom of God to associate with Krishna. So if you hear any of the Iskand devotees saying Radhe Radhe Shyam Maladi, you say no. This is not our philosophy. You correct them. In the Skanda Purana, there's a story of an old man residing in Hastinapur, capital of the kingdom of Pandus, who desired Krishna as his beloved son. This old man was instructed by Narada to follow in the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj, and thus he achieved success. So this is the process as it is explained. And also there's another one. This is the example of how it is done. This can be done through worship of the deity. There's a statement in the Narayan Vyuhastav prayer that persons who are always engaged in thinking of the Lord as their husband, friend, father, or well-wisher are always absorbed, always worshipable by everyone. Now, the process, Prabhupada has said on many occasions, it automatically happens, right? You follow Vaidhi and then it automatically happens. But here Prabhupada will say something different. This spontaneous love for Krishna can be developed only by the special mercy of Krishna or his pure devotees. This is actually the process. Through mercy, where it's a totally ascending, rather descending process. This process, and then the final point over here, this process of devotional service is sometimes called Pushti Marg. Pushti means nourishing and Marga means path. Such development of sentiment nourishes. Such development of sentiment nourishes devotional service to the highest standard. Thus it is called the path of nourishment or Pustimog. The Balava Sampradaya, which belongs to the Vishnu Swami sect of Vaishnava religion, worship Krishna in this Pustimog. Generally devotees in Gujarat worship Balakrishna under this heading of Pustimog. Now we are all accomplished in Raganuga Bhakti. We know everything. Yes. You have a question? About this? You have a question about this? Really? Okay, go ahead.
I understand that this spontaneous love for Krishna can be developed by following the religious principles and then at the same time one has to get the mercy of this.
Now this is after one is... How will you get the mercy if you don't follow? You have to be... See, because remember, we want to become on that platform because we want to enjoy it. So the bhakti means to give up the enjoying tendency and to adopt the serving mood. This is what bhakti means, to adopt the serving mood. So therefore, one has to surrender and become a servant of the Vaishnavas, servant of his guru and the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, the serving mood doesn't develop. You can't even start until we become the servant of our spiritual master. Therefore, ado guru parashray. Follow? So we don't, we now, yeah, ragana, wow, yeah, but it's with the mood of enjoyment. Yeah, you start.
I don't understand exactly what is characteristic of this
Ushti Marga. It's in the Sambandha Nuga, because they worship Balaka, they adopt the mood of being a parent to the deity. Huh?
Because this is written on the dictionary that this first sentence is that this can be attained only by mercy, and the next sentence is that this process is called Ushti Marga.
So you follow the process and then you get the mercy. But it's not completely dependent on the process. Mercy is dependent on nothing.
So this Ushti Marga is referring to...
It's a process, but to attain the heights, you need mercy.
So to some degree, you also follow this
Pushti Marga. No, Pushti Marga is something very specific. It's a technical name that the Ballava Sampradaya give their form of worshipping the Balakrishna deity. You want to worship Balakrishna deity? Then we will call it Pushti Marga for you. But we don't do that. That's what it means when you are thinking of Krishna as your son. Like that. You understand?
Guru likes the spiritual work.
Huh?
Guru likes the spiritual world. And maybe the matter.
We were once in the spiritual world, he said, and when we go back.
Will we attain the same position?
You want more? Which one do you want?
The same position.
You will have the exact position that is suitable for you. Like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar. He went through every possible position and wasn't satisfied until he became a cowherd boy. He was in Goloka. He was in Vaikuntha. He was worshipping Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. In Vaikuntha, he still wasn't satisfied. Even when Lakshmi took on the features of Radharani and Narayan took on the features of Gopal. So we have this in us. So until we are in our natural position, we will not be satisfied. It won't be that you're a cowherd boy. I don't want to be a coward. You are a cowherd boy. I don't want to be a coward boy. I want to be a go. You're a, now shut up and pick up your stick. I don't want to be a coward boy. It's not like that. It's based on our desire. I'm sorry? Those two categories? Sensual attraction is in the previous chapter. Right? And it's referring to kamatmika or kamarupa. But in spontaneous love, conjugal love, that paragraph is referring to kamanuga. One is referring to ragatmika bhakti and the other is raganuga bhakti. But sensual attraction and conjugal love are the same. But in the Sanskrit terms, the first one is kamatmika or kamarupa and the second is kamanuga. Okay? Kamanuga means you're following in the footsteps. You are trying to adopt the same mood, serving Krishna in the same mood as those residents of Braja or Dwarka that love Krishna in that mood. That's the difference. That's Kamanuga. Anuga means follower, right? And Kamadmika or Kamarupa means the one who has that.
The acharyas now go yes on the line. The acharyas following the line of Rupa Goswami. All of them
basically.
Yes.
Look, yes. But look who they are. Rupa, who's after Rupa?
After Rupa?
Yeah. Das Goswami. Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami. He is Tulsi Manjari or Rati Manjari. Then there is Jiva Goswami, who is, I think, Labanga Manjari. Then next, who? That's Jiva Goswami, Vilas Manjari, right. Sanatana Goswami is the one. Then is Krishnadas Kaviraj, who is also someone. And then after is Narottama Das, who is also a Manjari. Everyone is straight. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Manjari. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Nayana Manjari. And Prabhupada never... Huh?
I asked.
You asked who?
No, it's not, I asked.
Prabhupada.
Yeah, but...
Then Prabhupada said he was a coward boy.
Coward boy.
No, that was just to trick you. Speaking generally. That was actually a big controversy years ago.
So actually it's a transcendentalization of Mahaprabhu.
Huh? Basically he came, but not only that, but basically he came to give this. And the Goswamis, the followers, they absorbed in the mood of the gopis. Hey Radhe Bhajadevake Shalavite Hey Nandashino. This is, they were externally showing how to practice.
I feel like from this 15th chapter, this description of Ragatmika, and but just use this Ragatmika there. This is misreading or?
How did I explain it? What did I do when I explained it?
Well, after you explain, I understand that this what she's called here, Raganuga, should be is Ragatmika. So that is misprinted if you hear.
When this book was printed, I remember in 1969, Purushottam, as we would call him, he was sitting there at New Vrindavan just typing away. No one knew anything. There's a problem. So therefore I explained it from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was the exact same thing as explained, but explained it in the other way, in Prabhupada's own words.
Who and how established the identity of Krishna Kumari?
He said. How do we know that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is Nayana Manjari? As far as I know. Yeah, in his writings he said, he told exactly, and Siddhala Das. Otherwise he knew that we'd put on sari, is it I'm James Manjari, and you're... He said, oh, mine's a crazy kid.
James Manjari.
Ramachandra Manjari. So this he didn't, because we're so babies, such babies. But we know he is eternally serving Shiva Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he didn't want us to speculate. One time I actually asked Prabhupada, not this question. Oh, I forgot to write this one in the book. Remind me later, okay? That Prabhupada was taking massage in Melbourne, and I had heard one story that the devotee Vishnujan had walked into Prabhupada's room and asked him what his rasa was. I had heard this story. And then, this was the story that I heard, that Prabhupada began to glow brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And Vishnujan became so frightened, he crawled out of the room. So I was sitting with Prabhupada and I said, Prabhupada, I heard this story. Then I repeated the story. I said, is this true? And he just laughed and said, just see this nonsense. So I didn't then ask him what his manjari was. Of course, I didn't even know what it was. These words all became popular just a few years ago. 5 years ago, no one knew what any. 6 years ago, no one had any idea, even heard the word before. But because of the publishing of all the Vaishnava literatures, everyone's becoming fully familiar with the philosophy. But we don't, this isn't our level, and we don't dwell on it.
Is it another method to say become direct associate? Actually, they are not jiva tattva, they are there.
Yeah, Shakti Tattva. But it's not a method, that's the actual fact. That's not for jivas to. Okay, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow, since we've already passed, not tomorrow, but on Tuesday, we'll give you some time to go from sadhana to siddha, and then we'll perfectly realize Bhava Bhakti on Tuesday. You can't wait?
Are we going to have another test
in the end? I forgot. I don't think so. I don't want to give a test on this. All those who want to, let's have a debate whether we should have a test or not. No, there's no test on this. Just so it's in the books, we should know what it is. We can't avoid. We should understand it properly. Jai Shri Prabhupada.